This time on the show, effusive joy.
How do you tweet?
And the Dolphins done beat me up. All this and more on Comics Are Great. It's Comics Great, the visual storytelling show, recorded live every other Wednesday at the Ann Arbor District Library in lovely downtown Ann Arbor, Michigan, on the corner of 5th and William, comics.aadl.org. And this is a show where we talk about comics, drawing, creative lifestyle, anything to do with putting a pencil on paper and bringing your ideas to life. And I'm joined by two very special people today. And this is one of the rare privileges of doing this comics broadcasting stuff is I'm going to start with the big name first. Got Mr. Mark Kistler on the show.
Four-hour drive. Oh, my gosh.
So, yeah, Lee drove 4 hours to be our in-studio guest today. And what a gracious guy you are, Mark, for passing it off to Lee.
4 hours. Wait, this is Lee. He thought he was late today. He was coming. I got to get on the radio interview.
And that man is Mark Kistler of Draw3D.com and some other exciting projects we're going to talk about in a little bit here. But Lee, I want to say something real quick. You drove 4 hours to be here. Back in the days when I used to work on the Art and Story podcast, we had this thing called like the listeners were the art and storyers. And we had like one guy who like contributed a lot to the show, and he was art and storyer number one. I don't know what the Comics Are Great listeners are called yet. And I hesitate to even call them anything, but if there was a name, you'd be number one because you get the record for most dedication to. I mean, in terms of like the help you've given the show, like advocating for it, promoting it, and then also coming all the way out here to be on the show today. That's super awesome of you.
Thank you so much, Jersey.
So yes, littleguardianscomic.com, which we'll talk about in a minute. But I want to introduce this man over here, Mr. Mark Kistler.
Wait, littleguardians.com.
Littleguardianscomic.com.
Comic.com. Okay, that helps. Great.
So yes, Lee and I are both. This whole episode came about because we were just talking about you, Mark, on Twitter. I don't remember how that came up. Oh, I think
you did.
Yeah, I brought up. I was talking to a young student of mine because I teach comics classes in the Ann Arbor area. And I don't remember what happened, but I was talking with a kid, and some kind of really nice thing came out of it. And I said, I kind of felt like Mark Kistler for a moment there. And then Lee and I started talking about, like, oh, God, he's so awesome. And I love this about a show. I love that about a show. And, like, the sense of sincerity, enthusiasm, and earnestness. And then I just kind of said, yeah, I should see if I'll get him on the show. And Lee direct messages
enthusiastically
me.
That's awesome.
Lee direct messages me. He's like, in all capital letters, oh, God, if this happens, let me know. I will so be there. And here we are a couple months later. So
it came true.
Wow. Thank you, guys. It's a total honor and privilege to be here. It's great. I'm myself in Kalamazoo. I'm 3 hours from you here. I'm doing classes, doing spring art class, still teaching after 35 years. My favorite thing to do is inspiring the next generation. I love teaching.
But
it's just like plugging into the, 500,000 volt battery. These kids are so enthusiastic. They love to draw. Oh, they have such a passion for art. So
that is something that I'm finding, too, in my teaching work, is that when you get in a room full of fifth graders, it's like try to keep the pencil out of their hands. Right.
Right. Right.
Then something happens to a lot of people when they grow up. And I also teach classes for adults sometimes. And, it's like when I start the class starts out and the grown-ups like, oh, you draw comics. That sounds like such a cute little fun thing that you do. And I'm like, all right, well, we're going to draw together. And like, oh, no. Oh, no. Yeah, that's scary. I don't want to put ideas on paper because then that's permanent, that's eternal, and that scares me. I don't know what it is that happens to us, or a lot of adults,
Not us.
Well, not us. not the guys in this room, but something that's unfortunate that can happen sometimes to people. But I'm glad that you're there to do what you do because Lee and I are both in the fields that we are. In no small part because of your work. I don't want to be too effusive about this, but one of the things that we talked about on Twitter was that you had a profound impact on our career paths.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So, thank you so much. I'm trying to remember that word effusive so I can use it twice today. That's a good word. Yeah. You gotta keep learning new words, man. Effusive. Wow. That's a big word. But thank you very much. And yeah, well, that was the I just I love to draw, and I love passing that inspiration and passion on to the parents and kids. You're right. The parents are very hesitant to draw. But what I do when they're I make them come and stay for the first day for my workshops, and they actually have to draw, and they want to sit there on their iPhones and do the email, or they, you know, texting, or they want to do the laptops, and I put everything away. They have to put everything away. And they just draw and try it for 20 minutes. And if you can get a parent to sit for 15 minutes, turn everything off, put the books down and newspapers and everything down, and just try it. Just put the pencil to the paper and try it. See that eye in the background? I put that up. That's from my new book. I wrote a book just for that reason, just to try to get the parents to and I, of course, good planning. I don't have it here to hold. It's called You Can Draw in 30 Days. And it's I have every parent that sits on the first day draw that on the screen, that human eye, and they all do it in 10 minutes, and so it's in the book, and it's a neat icebreaker to remind them that they like to draw. Everybody, it's a core communication skill from when we were in cribs and eating baby food. We all love to draw in the high chair. We love to draw on the floor and the air and the sand and the suds in the bathtub, and we lose that, but it's the most primal form of communication, visual communication, of what we're thinking, what we're feeling, what's in our imagination, what we see in the world around us. And just reminding the adults that they can draw is a huge step. And it unlocks a whole world of possibilities for them. They go, oh my gosh, that's right. I love to draw.
Yeah. So yeah, that is the trick, is reminding them that it is a fun activity. Diminishing that risk, right, is like a big deal in teaching adults art.
Taking that step, I call it creative risk taking. You gotta be able to step out of your comfort zone and draw. Just put the line onto paper, and I'll have the audience toss up items that I haven't practiced drawing myself for a long time, for, you know, a giraffe or something, or, you know, I was with a group of eighth graders in New York 2 weeks ago, and they wanted me to draw one of the elves from The Hobbit, and I drew it, and it turned out looking like a professional wrestler, and I thought it was a great learning moment of, look, I've been drawing for 35 years, this is what I do for my career, and I still have to practice. It's like the people in the symphony, the Philharmonic, or I just saw these guys perform Circa de la Symphonie, these incredible trapeze and balancing guys, and they've been doing this for 30 years. They have to practice every day or they'll fall and die, you know. The symphony guys have to practice every day with their bassoons and violins, and same with art. You still have to practice in order to nail the picture. But you can't be afraid to push out of your comfort zone, take the creative risk, try something new, and it doesn't have to be perfect. No one has to see it. You can just close your sketchbook or go to another page. It doesn't have to be perfect at all. Just relax, let the ideas flow, and enjoy the process. It's a joy. It's a joyful experience.
Man, I want to go there and talk about this joy, because this is something. Okay, so Lee and I think both our entry points to Mark's career was The Secret City, yes?
Yes.
Remember The Secret City? Oh, my goodness.
You can see the Draw Squad
I look
Club,
exactly
yeah.
the same. It's incredible. Oh, my gosh.
So, wait, you were in the Draw Squad crowd?
Oh, yeah. Card carrying member.
So, yeah, we have a card carrying member of the Draw Squad here, too, on top of everything else.
You see the book way back there on that, the Draw Squad?
Mm-hmm. I had that book.
You have that one. Oh, that's awesome.
But I continued to watch.
1985, yep.
I continued to watch your shows into my adulthood. You know, the Imagination Station, you know, years later, I'm still watching the show.
Thank you. You're one of the 16. 16 viewers still, right on.
The moment I say those two words together, the theme song gets stuck in my head. You know, it's like just that guitar, that dunk 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 dunk. But you know, the thing that really attracted me to your shows from the start was this sense of this effusiveness, this joy, this I'm so excited to be here. I mean, the Secret City kicks off. You're like, are you excited? You know, are you ready to do this thing?
I actually watched a YouTube, one of the viewers, I'm not sure who or where, put up, I was going to pull up the theme song from The Secret City. Maybe you could do that on YouTube with your viewers. But you type in The Secret City on YouTube, and you can see a whole bunch of these episodes. And it's, was I ever that young? Goodness gracious. I was 19, 20 when I did the show. And the guy who was on the phone, my producer, Robert Neustadt, he produced and co-directed my new series last year. You talked to Robert, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And he's in Chicago, and I'm in Houston, and our animators are Ward in Boston, and the whole crew at ITT Tech did all the editing and everything at ITT Tech, a bunch of students at North Los Angeles and the Atlanta School of Design did the animation for us, the School of Animation, a whole team effort, bunch of volunteer effort. We won the Emmy. Is that awesome?
That is pretty cool.
Congratulations on that.
And I keep talking about it. It's 2010, and I still, oh, I won the Emmy like it was yesterday, but it was 2 years ago. But, you know, it's sitting up on the shelf in my daughter's room with all her Barbie dolls. Hilarious. You know the scene in E.T. where he's in the closet with all the stuffed animals?
Yeah, yeah.
That's what my Emmy's up. There's all these Barbies looking out, and I go, oh, there it is. It's so funny. Now, there – the point is that we started back in 1985, and we just Robert still is with me after 30 years. He's still producing the series, the Imagination Station. He was there at the Maryland Public Television when we produced it back in when I was 20. So it's been a long, fun, joyful, but a lot of hard work. You know, you have to find what you love to do and grab onto it with the passion, the belief that you're going to make your dreams come true. And I always wanted to go around the world teaching kids how to draw. That's all I've ever wanted to do is draw and share it with kids and with families. And oh my goodness, I've been able to go to 14 countries and teach people all over how to draw marshmallows and screaming hippopotamuses and stuff. I mean, is this a great country or what?
You had something that you had pulled up about him winning the Emmy, right?
Oh, yeah. I had the Sci-Fair magazine article.
So Sci-Fair magazine. Oh, wow. Okay. So, yeah, Mark Kistler draws an imagination. Can you give me a link later on to put in the show notes? Because it's like absolutely. A whole article written about Mark.
Yeah, it's on my website. Go to my website. You click on.
Okay.
Of course, it's a picture of me in the media. I put it right on my website, of course. let me modestly put everything that has a picture of me right here. Just push the button. You go to the e-press kit, and you can see the article. It's a good article. It's a great article. And hopefully you can tell that I been on this quest trying to – I've been an example for you guys. It's great to hear that you got inspired and got into your cartooning and graphic art comics. During the travels of being on the road for 35 years, it's been a really amazing, you know, global tour. But I've gained a lot of weight. And it's been done in a very public way. And I get lots of emails about it. You know, some of them concerned. Oh, no, you know, you don't want you to die. And then some just really harsh, mean emails. So thank you for the emails, but try to keep it kind of friendly, positive. Don't be mean. And it's motivated me to start a new quest here that I'm approaching 50 years on this planet. And my goal is to as I tour this next year through 100 cities I have on my schedule, about 132, and I'm going to lose 100 pounds in 1 year. And I'm at week number 10, and I've lost 31 pounds. Give me five.
All right.
And it's I want to show you guys and the kids and it is possible to in our time and where our culture is with billboards of filet of fish sandwiches, 15 filet of fishes for a buck. How you can make smart choices on the road and just walk, get out there, enjoy the world around you, and be healthy. So I have the website is 100pounds100cities.com.
Yeah, and it's pounds spelled pounds 100pounds100cities.com. And there's a YouTube channel. You've been doing a lot of video blogging on your YouTube channel too.
See, he gets the technology.
Yeah. I mean, you've been posting videos like crazy over the last couple weeks.
Thank you, Jody Ryan, my amazing literary agent. She's awesome. I don't know how to do it. She's been trying to teach me, and we're gonna meet tonight for 2 hours, and just trying to figure out how to tweet and Facebook and Google Plus, and I mean, you guys are insane.
Well, no, there is a lot to keep up on in regards to that, and it does get taxing. I mean, even for us kids, it gets really you get a lot of what is it, social media
burnout.
Yeah, from having to like, I did
you
a thing. I got
a great letter. That letter you sent me, I asked you, hey, I can't understand all this. Help me out. And you took the time and you wrote, and it was about you. What you were saying is that you spend a lot of time with your questions, giving a lot of personal time and attention. I think that's very applaudable. Thank you.
Oh, no. Are you kidding? I'm just paying it back for all the stuff that you did for us. We should say that you're at Mark_Kistler on Twitter, too. And people should go follow him today when I saw that you're new to Twitter.
Oh, should I? I haven't Twittered. Okay, I'm going to do a Twitter here right now. No, how do I do it? Anyway, I push Twitter.
Yeah.
Okay, so I say I'm on with Jersey Drod, right?
Yeah. Just at comicsaregreat.tv.
What do I push to send a tweet? Just a little letter thing?
Yeah.
Hey, there we go. Okay, cool. If I go, hi, I'm on with Jersey. Will everybody get that?
Oh yeah. And people are talking about it right now. Yeah.
I'm with. Okay. Well, hey, I have thick fingers for my little iPhone. Okay. This is a good use of broadcast time, by the way. learning how to do Twitter. Okay. No, wait. I'm with Jersey. And then do I put at?
At then Jerzy.
Yeah, everybody do this at once. You guys are watching. Let's all do it together. So I'll like send Jersey a note. Let's go. Okay, at Jersey. That's it. At Jersey.
Yeah, and then just comicsaregreat.tv. Just type right, that in.
Tweet. Go.
And there we go.
Tell me if you got it.
All right, I'm checking now. And the 8-year-old me is freaking out, by the way.
You got to explain it to me. I don't get it. I want to. I really, really want to get it.
So
what's the point of the tweet? I don't.
Okay.
Understand.
So the point of the tweet is it's a way for you to have public discourse where people can message you, and you don't have to respond to them if you don't want to, but if a polite constituency at tweets you and says, hey, you know, like at Mark_Kistler, I'm wondering about this funny word called foreshortening. And you only have 148 characters to respond. So this is an opportunity for you. Like, so I sent you that email response, and you thanked me for it, and that was very kind of you. But this is a way for you to send short responses, and the audience understands that you don't have a lot of space to send a long response. So you just send a quick response. Foreshortening is a circle that's squished. To give a sense of
I was waiting for you to come up with that. That was good. I was testing you, teacher. Good. See, you're down there. That's you. I'm pointing to you. And there's cool. Wait, Lee. Lee's right there. Mike, no, there's Lee. You know what I just discovered? Look, I can move. I'm in the middle of you guys now. Oh, no, bounce back.
But yeah, so it's like public email in a way, and it's also a way for you to let it's like a public newsletter too. So you can use it both as a bullhorn to say, hey, I'm doing a thing, or I did a thing, look at the thing I did, or it can be a way for you to discuss with people. So sometimes you get into conversations. Like for instance, you can use a hashtag, you know, the pound sign with like a certain word behind it. And Lee, you get involved in this one. There's a hashtag long form comics.
Oh, long form web comics, actually. It's pound sign LFWC.
And LFWC, okay.
And then you just put that in your posts, and then people can do a search for that tag to follow a discussion thread. So it can be both a newsletter, and it can be a instant messaging service, and it can just be a way for you to just meet people that you don't know online. You follow some different people and follow the discussions. And I've said this a million times on the show, but I think it's really worth repeating. There's a guy on Twitter. His handle is 1TimStreet, the number 1. Tim Street, and he once said that Twitter is a cocktail party. And when you're at a cocktail party, you don't go around and push your business card in everybody's faces. You listen to the conversations. If you have something to contribute, you chime in, and that's how you meet people and network with people, and is through just genuine conversation. And really, who is more genuine than Mark Kistler? For sure.
I mean, this
is a guy who will swim in these waters.
Thank you. Thank you. I have this with my kids because sometimes in the afternoon they don't laugh at my jokes. Thank you.
But that's really all it is. It's just talking in public with people, and when you have something to contribute to a conversation, you jump in, and then you also just use it as a broadcasting mechanism to let people know about what you're doing. So now I hope everybody listening to this, even now during the live stream and after the fact, will go to twitter.com/Mark_Kistler and follow him, because this guy's got a lot of interesting stuff to share, both in terms of drawing and then also the 100 pounds, 100 cities effort that you're putting out.
That's good. Look, I'm getting a couple little tweets here from people. Cool. That's awesome. That's cool.
Super cool. Now, when we talk about being genuine, because I don't know how much longer we have you, because I know you have another workshop to run off to. Because this man,
we're good.
Okay. One of the things
I got the door closed and I can see him out there.
All the kids are scraping at the door. Listen,
yeah, 20 minutes. Go play. Love you.
Oh man, that's awesome. But one of the things Lee and I were talking about before we got you on the Skype was that. This is a guy who can walk into the room in a flight jumpsuit, call himself Commander Mark, say, pencils in your head, get ready, art attack, and it doesn't feel forced. It doesn't feel contrived. This felt like it was coming from a real place inside of you.
Very infectious excitement.
Yes, yes, very much so. I mean, who didn't get excited when it was time for an art attack, right?
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Remember, memory lane. Yeah. Well, I mean, I still love drawing. I still sing and do all that, but I haven't done the pencil. I got to do that. I forget it. So, you know, you change as you go for the years, sure. And different things and antics, and that's fun. That's a fun one, pencil power. That's from 1990s, yeah. It's just because, you know, I'm like you guys. I got, you know, 7-8-year-old enthusiasm in my heart. I love the kids. I love the parents, and I love what I do. And I'm just so lucky I get to do this for a living. And you know, this is how I pay my mortgage and feed my children. I mean, what a lucky guy, huh?
Mm-hmm. But where I want to go with this is that the funny thing, this is why I said that you'll just swim in the waters of Twitter, is because at the age of 20, and I can't believe you were that young when you started The Secret City. That blows my mind that you were so well-spoken and articulate at that age. When I was 20, I was doing the whole looking at my shoes going, you know? I was that guy. It was the 90s, and Kurt Cobain was really big, and it was really awesome to mumble and have your hair in your face. So here we are. It's the 21st century, and I did a talk, actually, at Ignite Chelsea, and it's on YouTube. People can find it if they want to, and I did a talk called The 21st Century Cartoonist, and I highlighted what I saw are the...
See, I'm taking notes. 21st Century Cartoonist. Write that down, everybody.
It'll be in the show notes.
You gotta listen to the show with note, paper, and pen in your hand. This is good
info. This is a vocab moment. That's another thing I picked up from you, actually. I do that in my classrooms all the time. When I find an interesting word, I write it on the board, and we discuss it.
Oh, right away. Kids will pop, and they're out just ideas, and you gotta, wait.
Yeah.
Write it down.
For sure.
So, I'm sorry, go ahead. Tell me
more
about that. Oh, look, there's a car going by.
But one of the things I highlighted in that talk is I said, like, it's not enough for us to just create. We also have to be spokespeople for our own projects, because with social media, the audience expects that we're going to either blog or podcast or photo blog. There's going to be some extra content to go along with the content we make. Like, for instance, with the 100 pounds, 100 cities thing that you're doing, Mark, you've got a video blog that's going on with this where you're posting little updates from the field. And this is, you know, not the main feed, but it's supplemental feed. But it's you have to put yourself out there. Here you were 20 years old. You put yourself out there. You found your voice. You found your persona, which, I mean, I'm sure, you know, you are not Commander Mark all the time, right? But I'm sure
to my kids' utter dismay. you're freaking out.
Have you seen his birth certificate? It does start with Commander.
Does it really?
I was a peanut butter when I was a kid. But yeah, I've always been a dreamer, a goal chaser, and I didn't want to just be a dreamer and not have anything tangible in my life to show. You know, I was raised with my parents, who were very much goal-oriented people, and the idea that anything that you can imagine and believe that you can achieve, it's amazing, the power of your imagination. It's the most amazing tool right here. And I've always believed that and tried to impart that with my students and my kids, that you can achieve anything you can dream in your life. It's just the world's out there. The world's your oyster. And when I was 15, I actually started the goal. I wanted to teach a million children. Well, I read a book by Napoleon Hill. It's called Think and Grow Rich. It's still a great, great book. It's written back in 1940s or 50s. And it talks, he talks all about the obsession, you know, making the money. Well, I figured that I really wanted to, I figured the money would come if you do what you love to do. And that's proven to be right. I mean, if you do what you love to do with great passion, zeal, and it, with enthusiasm, and I'm trying to get effusive in there, but I don't know how to tie that new word in, but it's out there. I'm thinking about it. And if you do what you love to do, the money's going to be there. You gotta find something you love to do that you're passionate about with just this, you do it for free, which I do. You know, if I get paid, that's great. But even if I don't, I'm still every day, I'm still drawing and still out in the public. So I when I was 15, I made the goal of teaching 1 million kids how to draw. By the time I was 18, and I missed the goal. I was going to schools, and I had only taught 400,000 kids when I was 18.
Oh, only.
Now I look back, and I go, God, that was pretty good. But back then, oh my gosh. All right, 21. Maybe give me 3 more years. When I was 20 is when I hooked up with the television folks. I saw this company had little how to paint videos available in the art store. They didn't have anything on children or drawing. I go, oh, they should have drawing videos. So I, this is FedEx, it just came out. So I FedExed the company of the video. Oh, you need to get drawing videos. And I went out and rented a video camera. This is when they were black and white and video cameras were cutting edges. This is back in 1983.
Yeah.
When, you know, they were rent huge. A video camera is a huge thing.
You had to have it plugged into a recording box too, didn't
and
you?
And I taped paper to the wall in my apartment and put up the video and didn't, I was just my hand. I did a how to draw a video, 20 minutes, and I Federal Expressed out the videotape. And the guys didn't hear from, so I kept calling them every day. And it turned out that they were producing a children's show and they were looking for a host for the children's show. But they had already found somebody in England, some guy who was a great children's painter. And I go, no. You need me. And so I was just crazy with FedEx and calling him or anything. But it was the power of the dream and the passion. It gave me enough. And plus youth, you have this blind confidence you can do everything, which is wonderful because I was – and they you know, eventually chose me to do the show. And sorry about that guy in England. Sorry. Sorry that you got bumped off the show. Sorry about that.
He's the guy who's actually sending you the emails.
That started the path. And I got the show, when we broadcast the show, it went out September 1985. And it was my birthday was August. So I missed it again, the goal. I had got to about, you know, I kept the chart on the wall, you know, and I was at 400,000 kids. And every school you go to is 500,000 or 600,000. Well, my birthday was in August, and in September, the show brought, we were on, I think it was estimated to be about 11 or 12 million kids saw it. So that was, I gave myself that, you know,
yeah,
month, you know. So we got to millions of kids. It was a wonderful series. You remember that, the spacesuit, you know.
Oh, yeah. And the drawing wall, the mural that you did all the time. Oh, my mm-hmm. gosh. I mean, that was the part that whenever I talk to people who remember that show, that's the part that we all go, oh, remember the wall? Remember the wall? When he'd go to the wall at the end, that was like, and all of us wanted that wall. And I had one friend whose dad was so cool because he was a huge fan of your show. And he said, Dad, can I do my bedroom like Commander Mark's wall? And he's like, sure you can. And this kid, his whole bedroom walls were just, you know, populated with cities and spaceships. And yeah, the little flying saucer with the guy who wants pizza.
That's cool to remember.
You made me cackle. You made me effusively cackle.
Hey, he got it.
My mom, in fifth grade, she let my brother and I draw on a wall. That's where the secret symbol came from, is my mom.
Oh, wow.
And we drew the mural, and I took a little, you know, modern video camera, a little tiny one a couple years ago, and it's hanging up in my brother's classroom in Carlsbad, California. He teaches at Carlsbad High School. Don't just pop in, but you should, if you want to see it, it's pretty cool. But it's in Carlsbad, and I did a video of it, and we put it online. It's on YouTube. You type in the Secret City Mural. Yep. Get a little walk down memory lane. It's wonderful. It just, I look back at that and I think, oh my goodness, I drew pretty good stalactites when I was 20 years old.
Actually, we've got some of that video. We got some of that video queued up. If Matt, you want to play some of that video while we talk about the Secret City mural. Yeah, here we go. We got it on screen. You can't see it right now, Mark, but the viewers can. So.
Oh, cool. Yeah, that is just, we did, every day we worked on it for 8 minutes. And what's a little funny story is after the first 20 episodes, I had to start the mural all over again. The mural was on too light of a background, and so they had to repaint it with a dark. And I was so – one day I was there, and we were – I already had the third of the mural done because we're 65 shows in the series. We're third of the way into it. And they had have had to repaint the whole thing because it wasn't cutting the it wasn't broadcasting clear.
Oh, wow. You know, wow.
So taking pictures of it. So I had to redraw the whole mural. That was so that mural is mural version two, actually. Two.
The first one's lost to the ages. Oh, yeah, the
first one's layered. It's underneath there, you know.
Oh, so it's like a palimpsest. There's another vocab moment. We could,
we can x-ray the mural later and see the underpainting.
It's like the Da Vinci Code. We're going to pull off some of the layers and find out the real secrets.
I just couldn't believe it. Michael Steyer, the station director, way back at Maryland Public Television, and if anybody from MPT is watching, great memories from 1985. What a great summer. That's where I met my my best friend, Robert Neustadt, and still working with me in Chicago. I was expecting him to text in here, but he hasn't yet. But he and Michael got them to ship the mural out to me in California. So I had returned from doing the series, 1985, went back, and I wasn't expecting it, and all of a sudden, this huge crate, looked like this giant coffin, but huge. You know, the mural was must have been, 12 feet long or longer?
Wow.
And they had shipped this 200-pound wood crate out to my house, and I got the mural. And so it's been out there ever since. Now I got to figure a way to get it from there to where I live in Houston now.
Wow. Well, how come it's not going to the Smithsonian? That's where I would want it. Actually, for sure. They got Julia Child's kitchen, for crying out loud. What's that, Mark?
Okay, I got to keep video on. I'm just getting signal warning here. So, am I still on?
Yeah, you're still on. Yeah, the signal got a little choppy there for a second. But I want to see if we can get like a final piece of advice for any listeners.
Can I ask one question?
Oh, please.
I have a question for Mark. Because you imparted so much inspiration to me and, of course, Jersey, like when all the other kids that saw your show, I want to know where the inspiration, what inspired you? Like, did you have a favorite teacher or
Good question.
Said your mom? Was the inspiration for the mural? But I mean, is that where your love of drawing came from? Was it your parents?
My teacher from high school, Mr. Goddard, would let me. You always remember your good teachers. And my high school teacher, Mr. Goddard, would let me in high school just. I would cut classes and hang on art all day, and just draw. I probably shouldn't say that live, but that's all I wanted to do was draw. And then when he tried to encourage me to water and do skirt, but I just drew. And then Mr. McIntyre, my elementary school, junior high teacher, enormous influence on teaching me the fundamentals of drawing. You know, he called them the seven elements of drawing, like molecular elements. And from there, and over the years of teaching, you know, standing on his shoulders, that's how, you know, the progress of the space travel and the mathematics, and you stand on the shoulders of your teachers, on the shoulders. And so taking all that information and expanding it to now, I call it the 12 Renaissance words. And I'm sure one of my students, one of you guys, when you're teaching, will say it's the 18 fundamentals of the universe, you know, we keep building on it and make it better and better and better. So, but definitely your teachers or my teachers were the great inspirations for my drive and my passion and my goal setting.
So I want to backtrack just for a second and dig at this little thing about that we were talking about in terms of you having this youthful enthusiasm, exuberance, and you know, a little bit of chutzpah to be able to put yourself out there. Going back to that idea I was talking about with the 21st century cartoonist and making this case that we all have to put ourselves out there now. We don't have the luxury of just being able to sit in a studio and just draw and have a publisher take the stuff away for us and just do what they will with it. It's a lot harder for us, but it's liberating at the same time because we have more control. But one of the big questions I get from people is, well, gee, that's all well and good for a Jersey Droz who's comfortable behind a mic, but I wasn't always comfortable behind a mic. I didn't know who the heck I was in public yet. But here's a guy right here who at the age of 20 was able to pull this off. So I'm curious if you could give any if I'm the kid coming to you saying, like, look, I know I got to put myself out there. I know I have to speak publicly a little bit about myself and my work in order to make a living at this thing. How do I find out who my real me is, the persona that I can express in an honest way, right? Because like, if you think of, like, Bob Ross, right? Very different PBS show.
happy trees. Happy trees. I met Bob Ross. He's a really genuine, talking about a genuine, sweet heart spirit. Really, really nice. What I would say, can you hear me okay? I know the connection's choppy on my end, but you just got to jump in with both feet. You know, you can't hesitate. You can't think it through, all of it. You know, I am impulsive. I understand that. That's everybody, but I get flack for that, but you have to pursue your passion and your dream, and you can't let your fears slow you down and stop you. You know, I'm not saying, you know, run in traffic, but you have to take the risk. You got to stand in front of your high school class and do a demonstration on your art. Talk about your music, you know, talk about your love of, you know, magic or music. There are three things that I was talking to a friend of mine who directed Madagascar and won the Oscar. And kids are big fans of the show. I asked him, he's at DreamWorks, and what was I there for? The Kung Fu Panda had come out, and I went up there. I got to see him do he was working on a Shrek at the time. And big fan of Shrek, and I got a poster for my kids, and he autographed it. But I asked him, what are the three things that you would tell the high school kids now that are wanting to get into three-dimensional animation or digital game design careers? And it was really great what he said. And then it's been repeated when I talk to different college deans of enrollment or counselors or animation schools. And it's always these three. And I'm going to see if you guys can guess what the number one skill for the high school kids that's lacking now across the country, around the world. What's the skill that lacking, that the number one skill that high school students need and college kids need more than anything?
I'm tempted to say mathematics, because that's what always gets talked about on the news. But when
drawing. the drawing. That's close.
Perfect.
So, Lee,
I do.
The floor is yours.
Okay. Favorite memory or experience you had teaching, like either something a kid said to you or your... Are they hearing?
No, we're okay. Yeah. I just got a little message from my producer. We're all right.
Oh, good. Like either...
But we're down to like 5 minutes?
We're down to like the last 15, but you can go whenever you need to.
All right. I got a great story. That's a good question. About 15 years ago, I was teaching through Australia. The Australian Public Television was carrying my show, and the airline, Ansett Airlines, was sponsoring the show. So I got to fly this is before 9/11, before our world changed. And this is when traveling was enjoyable. I got to sit in the cockpit with the pilots because Ansett Airlines was sponsoring. So I got to fly between all these cities and sitting in the cockpit, and the pilots were all cool. And, one of the cities I visited was in Sydney, the SeaWorld. I was just telling the story to my kids today up here on the overhead projector back here. I still love old school. You know, everybody wants document cameras now, and you know, give me an overhead. I just want to be able to see the kids and draw. So I'm drawing a dolphin up here, and it reminded me of a story. I was teaching the kids, 5,000 kids in the arena in Sydney, Australia. The dolphin, I got to jump in the tank behind the lagoon. I had a SeaWorld wetsuit on and everything. I jumped in and got to grab onto the mother dolphin's dorsal fin and ride around the lagoon. And the trainers had, I remember him saying, "Hey, Yankee," they call me Yankee, you know, Yankee Doodle. I'm a American. "Hey, Yankee," and I can't do the accent, "Yankee, don't make any noise. You're going to scare her. Just jump in quietly." I mean, come on, 5,000 kids. So I jump in the water, grab the dorsal fin, and go, yeah! And the dolphin took off like a bat out of a cage. Wah! And I'm going 90 miles an hour. Wah! And I was only supposed to do one loop around the lagoon and get off and wave to the kids. Well, I wasn't going to let go. She was going 90 miles an hour. Wah! Well, then he said, be careful because all the teenage dolphins are going to get jealous and they're going to come up and they're going to start trying to hit you with their noses, right? Well, I'm going, holding on to Mama Dolphin. Kids, 5,000 kids now screaming, so they think it's all part of the show. I'm scared for my life. Ah! Screaming, so I'm screaming. She's going faster. So then the teenage dolphins start coming up and butting me. Ah, bah, bah, bah. Well, you know the story that dolphins are such sweet, kind, lovable, compassionate creatures? Yeah, they beat crud out of me, man. Yeah, you talk to those group of dolphins, how sweet and fluffy they are. Man, I get out. Oh, I feel like someone had, well, that's the story. That's the story. I got beaten up by dolphins.
Wow.
In front of 5,000 kids drawing, yeah.
The life of teaching kids how to draw, fun. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing. I want to go back in time. I want to get that flux capacitor and go back to 15-year-old Mark Kistler who says, I'm going to teach a million kids. So, yeah, you know what that's going to get you? You're going to get beat up by dolphins.
Yeah, you're going to get beat up by these wonderful, smart, soft, compassionate creatures. Oh, sweet. So that was the Australia story. But I've had just a remarkable journey, and I can't wait for, you know, the next years, but I've been able to go to just about every continent and teach kids how to draw from, you know, dinosaurs to ocean creatures to space aliens. And it constantly gives me a source of enthusiasm and passion and also compassion, because there's a lot of people out there who really need to be reminded of hope and joy, especially in this time.
Oh yeah, you no argument from me. Man, you just loaded us with a boatload of really great food for thought, and delivered as only Mark Kistler can deliver it. Right? I'm gonna ask my producer Matt. Are we getting Eli in here, or are we okay? All right, we're ready whenever you are, Eli, for do some book recommendation segment. And, of course, we're going to recommend You Can Draw in 30 Days as being one of our top recommendations for the list today. Lee, I wonder if you wanted to show some of your work on the overhead cam, because another book recommendation we can make is littleguardianscomic.com. You do a comic called Little Guardians.
Mm-hmm. I have. I'm actually in the process of putting together the first book. So I didn't have the book itself, but like I have my little promo business cards, and I have some printed off pages with me here today. So let me grab those.
It's a web comic, yeah. But it will soon be a print comic.
Yeah, soon be a print comic.
Can you hold it so I can see it?
I'll hold up some for Mark to see, and I don't know if you can see this. Okay.
But... Yeah, well, you just angle it just a little bit.
There we go.
Yeah. Your producer gets right in there. No, that's awesome. Here, show me another one.
All right, so what's the general idea of this?
Back up.
Yeah, there
freeze.
We go.
Right there. Let me see it. Now stop moving. Okay, good. Oh, look at the background. That's awesome. Now move it a little bit toward Jared. Yeah, right there.
Yeah, there we go.
But I'll move it up a little higher, a little more. Oh, look, that's awesome. Stop. Look at the expression. I love your silhouettes in the background. I love the overlapping. Move it just a little closer to me. Awesome. Stop. Now go up. Move up. I'm a director. Can you tell? Either way. Look at the shoulders. Great. Great arms. I like the shadow behind the faces. That's wonderful. Good job.
Thank you so much.
I like to stare hours at the drawings. I still enjoy it.
So Lee's going to be riding high for the rest of the day. Yep. You didn't know that you're going to be getting a critique from Mark Kistler today, did you?
No, the backgrounds have always fascinated me. That's not my forte, the backgrounds. And it's so important to put that back. Just a hint. You just need a little bit, and it adds all that depth, and it adds the scene, the world. It creates a world that you can live in there.
So what's Little Guardians about? Real quick.
Super quick pitch. It is set in a fantasy setting, so there's swords and monsters to fight, and it's set in a little village. And the protector of the village, when you start in the prologue, this is a very special day for him. His son's going to be born. His wife's going into labor. But there's a threatening demon outside the village, and he has to go take care of it. That's his job. So he misses the birth of his son. And so that's where you jump in the part of the story. But really, I tell everyone the story's about, it's about family relationships. It's about the fun fighting monster aspect as well, and in this fantasy story that we built. And we also deal a lot with gender roles, about can a girl become, you know, grow up to be the fighter and the protector of the village too. And so our main characters are a little 12-year-old girl and 12-year-old boy, and their different, you know, journeys growing up in this village, either being the shopkeeper or the protector of the village. So.
And there's some very, very fun characters in this story. The doctor in particular is a very unusual doctor.
Oh, yeah. Crazy doctor. I love it. Perfect character.
Yeah, like it's like he's like a mad scientist who actually does good. So, yes, that's at littleguardianscomic.com. And we got Eli. What's that, Mark?
And you got you can Twitter me, and I can learn how to. You can Twitter that, and I'll. Oh,
yes,
yeah.
he will at tweet.
What do you call it? Tweet? You tweet me, right?
Yes, he will tweet.
You don't Twitter me. You tweet me. I got it. I'm with you.
Twitter's the noun. Tweet is the verb.
Then I'll chirp back. Me and I'll chirp you.
So we have another guest in studio who's also a longtime fan of Mark Kissler. Oh, his mic's not on, Matt. We got Eli Nyberger.
How's it going?
Of the Ann Arbor District Library.
Yes, that's right. It's very nice to meet you, Mark. I'm a huge fan of Secret City from back in the day. Planned my summer days around it. And so I brought up a couple books from the collection that have Direction 1 and Direction 7 in plain evidence.
Oh, remember so. That? Of course, sure. That's those. Now what I did, those confused kids. And so I used the same concept, same idea, because it's those positions. You guys as artists know, you usually put three-quarter view.
Yep.
You do something, either left or right, looking up or looking down. And so those views, I just do the compass now. Instead of direction one, I made it direction northeast. Instead of direction, seven? I'm trying to remember back there. Seven, I made it northwest, and then five, and it's the same. So it's just those four positions on the compass. So you take the compass, you foreshorten it.
And I always, perhaps because of my formative years, I always believe that I see Secret City and Imagination Station influences in young creators' work, and this is definitely one of them. This is called Artichoke Tales. It's by Megan Kelso, and it's a very fine line work. I'll hold it up for you here in a second, Mark. Let me get it on the camera for the feed here. But this is just some really nice... let me see if I can get a good shot there for you. And it always reminds me very much of the murals from Secret City, where there's a lot of stuff going on. There's this very cartoony perspective and things that... so when I saw this on the shelf, I was like, oh, I got to bring that upstairs.
Can I see the cover?
Yes. So this is Artichoke Tales. There we go. Artichoke Tales by Megan Kelso. And this is clearly a young creator, started out in mini comics, and is kind of just riding the boom and now has a Fantagraphics book and doing some great stuff. So that's one thing, Artichoke Tales by Megan Kelso. I also brought one thing that I've always, although this is certainly not someone who's influenced by Mark.
Larry Martyr.
Martyr of Bean World. And this is... there's nothing else quite like Bean World.
No.
It's its own kind of bizarre and impenetrable story. It's its own ecology, and it's really more like Fraggle Rock than anything else, as far as that there's these different races and how they interrelate to each other. But he does, I mean, this is from the late 70s and early 80s, and there's just some really heavy, heavy line work, and just it's a narrative style that almost nothing else is like, trying to get it right in the camera there, that it's not exactly a story, but it's more kind of like a nature documentary than anything else, and that the story goes in a very unique way. So this is something that I think is kind of underappreciated because it's just so weird and so wonderful and very creative, and it always has made me think of some of the characters from Secret City back in the day, of just how unique the look was and how singular the universe was.
Yeah, absolutely. And Larry Martyr is on Twitter. I'm looking him up right now because he also is doing really important work with the Comic Book Legal Defense Fund nowadays.
Yep.
So you can follow him at, if I'm not mistaken, it's just Larry Martyr.
Those are good. Twitter. The good book. I'm going to check those out. Of course, my all-time favorite, Chris Van Allsburg, the Z was apt, and the Mystery of Harry Burdock. Chris Van Allsburg, yep. amazing pencil artist. Dr. Seuss, I still tell the kids to trace Dr. Seuss. Trace? Yeah, yes. Michelangelo traced, Rembrandt traced, George O'Keefe traced, Mark Kistler traced, Hey, look at this. I got like 100 tweets here from people. This is awesome. Hey, God, we give a shout out to Sally that draws and eats. This is like Romper Room. And I see Sally, and I see there's Eric and Derek and another Eric and Scott and Carrot. Thumbs up. All right, I'm Twitter guy.
That is exactly Twitter. The Magic Mirror of Romper Room is exactly Twitter.
One other book I'd recommend is Ted Arnold. Oh, his drawings are fantastic. Have you ever heard of Ted Arnold? He wrote Parts, P-A-R-T-S.
No, I don't think so.
I want to meet that guy. He's hilarious. I sent him my one and only fan letter. Okay, I sent one to Chris Van Allsburg too, but I typed him a fan letter to Ted Arnold, T-E-D-D-A-R Arnold. It's there. Figure it out. He's with Scholastic too, so I thought, oh, hey, we're like brothers. We have the same publisher. So I wrote him this long letter. Oh, you're awesome. I'm going to tell a million kids a year about your books. I love them. He wrote Parts, then even more Parts, and then much more Parts, a whole series. And I wrote this, effusive letter. And like three pages, we're brothers, we're Scholastic brothers, awesome, we can be buddies, but, BFF, right? And he sent me about 3 months later a note back saying, thanks, Mark.
Oh,
it was awesome. I framed it. It's in my office. And, my kids go, what's that? I go, look, we're brothers, man. He sent me a note. We're communicating. It's awesome. Hey, thanks for having me on your show.
You got to get out of here. You got another class to teach. This man is always on. Mark Kistler, I have to thank you from the bottom of my heart for making time to be on the show. Thank you for, all the work that you've done, for all the inspiration that you gave, the countless children who grew up into big children.
Lee, you rock. Thanks for driving 4 hours. That was awesome. Great to meet you. Good questions. You got a future in broadcast, brother.
Thank you, Mark. It was awesome.
All right. Thank you guys very much.
Yep. Thanks, Mark.
Bye, guys. Have a great way. Well, I say dream a draw, do it, right? 20 or 30 minutes a day. Dream a draw, do it. Bye, guys. Thanks again.
See ya. Bye, Mark. See ya, Mark. Eli, did you have that one last
book? Oh, I did have one last book. It's just I'm caught up in the podcasting magic that has happened here today. This has been really fantastic. So I did want to mention this one other title, because this is something really unique, because it's not exactly a comic, and it's not exactly not a comic either. This is by Michael Kupperman, probably most famous for Snake and Bacon. And he has I brought on the show a couple of months ago, Tales Designed to Thrizzle. Mm-hmm. He's a comedy writer, but this is his comic, Mark Twain's Autobiography, 1910 to 2010. And it's not exactly a graphic novel, but it, like I said, it isn't exactly not a graphic novel either. Mm-hmm. It has lots of very humorous prose, lots of kind of just set pieces, and then some pretty typical panels in there as well.
Interesting. But, and there are some full-on comics. Mm-hmm.
This is hilarious. It is so funny. He just is a send-up of all the kind of class. And there's a quote there on the back. Kupperman may have one of the best comedy brains on the planet right now. And that's from Conan O'Brien. So, that's somewhat loaded praise. But but Michael Kupperman, highly recommended. All of his stuff I absolutely love. So I grabbed that as well, just because it's such a unique format. So.
Cool. Well, thank you, Eli, for always bringing really, really good books to tie into the conversation. Do you have anything else that you want to promote right now at AADL?
I think we're getting close to the summer game coming back again, and we're really looking forward to Kids Read Comics July 7th and 8th here at AADL. I think, there's a lot of exciting stuff. We do have a Mario Kart tournament this weekend, this Friday night. We have a Mario Kart tournament, so that's always doing well. But I think we're just, stuff keeps on happening at the library, and given that we know that most of the viewers of this, maybe at any point over the next 500 years, not worrying too much about upcoming events.
True.
We're in it for posterity. So, but future's species, think of us. Yeah.
Well, it's worth documenting, too, just to remind people that there is stuff always going on here. So, But yes, thank you once again for helping, you know, making the show possible. And yes, I am looking forward to Kids Read Comics as well. I hope we get to see you there, Lee.
So, Lee, oh, yeah.
you're still thinking about that critique, aren't you?
Mark said I was awesome. Commander Mark said I was awesome.
Yeah, I won't be coming down until tomorrow.
But thank you, Lee Shirolis of LittleGuardiansComic.com and Lee Shirolis on Twitter. Anything else that you've got that you wanted to make some noise
about? Lee Shirolis on Google Plus, Lee Shirolis on Facebook, or Little Guardians on Facebook as well. So, and Little Guardians Comic on Twitter.
Yeah. There we go. Oh, yeah, that too. So, okay. Mm-hmm. Eli can be found at Ulotricus on Twitter. And people should check out, anybody who's interested in new media, we're going to talk about this in an upcoming episode that you're going to be on. Yep. But you did a great talk on your trip to Australia. What was that? Was for a conference?
VALA, the Victorian Association for Library Automation. The talk is called Access Schmaccess. And if you search for Access Schmaccess, you'll find the full talk online there.
It's a great talk. And anybody who's interested in the future of media, the future of licensing, and also just the future of institutions, I think would get a lot out of it. And it's a fun talk, too. I mean, it's just if anybody who watches TED Talks for the fun of it, you got one right there. So,
I'm not worthy.
No, I meant it when I said it. We have coffee, and I said it's like Lessig meets Steve Jobs. It's all the entertainment of Steve Jobs, but with the pacing and the information and the passion-inspiring kind of rhetoric of a Lessig. So
I hope to live up to that.
I thought it was that good. Take it from me, folks. So, okay, this show will be available at comicsaregreat.com/CAG52, and it will also be the video podcast you can get at comics.aadl.org, and that's also where you can find all sorts of information about what's going on in the Ann Arbor area in terms of comics events. So thank you, everybody, for downloading and listening and watching. Thanks to Mark Kistler of Draw3D.com and 100pounds100cities.com. Thank you, Lee Chirolis of LittleGuardiansComic.com. And thanks to the Ann Arbor District Library for making this possible every 2 weeks. Until next time, I have been Jersey Drozd of ComicsAreGreat.com and Jersey on Twitter. Okay, bye.